Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm going to start the show early now, and I have an announcement that working in a HD dead zone, so if your call drops, I might have a hard time getting you back in. So please try to be in an area your call is not going to drop. Tonight's episode is about William Barr, newly elected and approved by Congress Attorney General, served under George Bush 41. He's experienced. He's dabbled in the CIA for a while, and he's not. If bring it to a halt, maybe he was hard on. He wrote a kidding high incarceration rate. He also was on businesses. That would have complicated use refugees and HIV infected in the south. As a limited cases for the criminality devastates the criminal justice. It diminishes the statements of the state legislature. Also, during confirmation, said that Roe was the law of the land and that he had views on the subject. That was his himself. One more thing. In 19, the scholarly article for the Catholic lawyer, Barr's American precisely on the system. Barr grapples with challenging the representation of Catholicism, increasingly militant secular as three-way killers use as a weapon. The first method is through the elimination of traditional moral norms through legislation and litigation. It's words of examples. The second is the promotion of moral relativism through the passage of laws that dissolve moral consensus and enforce neutrality. Barr draws attention to the 1987 case, the Gay Rights Coalition versus Georgetown University, which compels activists like any other student group. The third method is use of the law directly against religion. As an example of this method, Barr cites efforts to use establishment laws to exclude religiously motivated citizens from the public square. Concluding, Barr states the need to restructure education and take advantage of existing tax deductions for charitable institutions. No one agree with his religious stance. The reflection of the law and moral relativism has changed dramatically in our country, but the Constitution permits minority groups that may not have a Christian backbone to also be protected. So John and I see Mike from Singapore on the line. I'm pulling in John and Albert first, and then Mike. Good evening. Good evening, John.
Hello, Jane. Happy Tuesday.
I am in a zone, so I hope you questions. Good evening, Albert.
Hey, there was some stutter when you were talking. I'm pretty sure the other guys probably heard it too. I can hear you, and then sometimes I couldn't hear you. It was happening too with the other phone. There was something happening on your side.
Well, I'm in an 8 dead zone, but I'm going to go outside for a minute so I explain this. So I just want to, I'm going to see if you can hear me better out here, okay? So, can you hear me better now, William Barr? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you better.
Okay, so William Barr was an attorney general under Bush in the 90s. He promoted strict crime regulation, increased incarceration, and kind of like the punitive end, like the stricter the law, it's going to be a deterrent for people to commit crimes. If the laws are strict, people won't. Okay, my phone's echoing, but. And he also believes that Christian values have been. I'm going to put myself on speak. He also believes that Christian values have been reduced through the legal system because the Christian voice has been diminished with the increasing of abortion, gay rights, and other stuff. So he considers Judeo-Christian the background for American law, kind of like Clarence Thomas did with Old Testament statutes, and he believes that it's been diminished. Can you guys hear me okay?
I think it's better at least in California. This is John in L.A.
Yeah, I'm going to have you guys talk a few minutes, okay? Go ahead and talk, somebody.
I think Albert's coming through clear. What do you think, Albert?
Nothing really about that.
Okay, well, Albert, we're staying on this topic tonight, so I'm going to bring Mike from Singapore in, but John, I want you to comment on the moral absolution of William Barr and how he sees the world.
I need you guys to talk.
All right. Do we have Mike from Singapore?
Yes. Can you hear me loud and clear, Jane?
Hello,
can you
guys
hear me? Yes. Greetings to you from Singapore. Oh,
nice. We were discussing William Barr. Basically, the Congress vetted him. They had hearings to see if he's qualified to be acting attorney general, to be in charge, and they he passed. It was, I think, 53-47, I believe, on the vote. So now that he's there, there's questions that people are raising, such as Jerry Nadler, from a Democrat from New York. He's saying that he should recuse himself, or he shouldn't be in charge of leading anything related to Trump or collusion, because he had, as a private citizen earlier, about 2 years ago, had written a piece saying he thought that the investigation basically was going overboard, and that they should stick to just basically Russian collusion and not be investigating a lot of other people. They were going too far with it, basically, what he was saying. So Natalie was saying that's basically kind of a bias, and that he shouldn't have anything to do with the case. Similar to Jeff Sessions, who was involved with the Trump campaign, recused himself so other people could run it. What's your opinion?
John, I have to make a quick announcement. I called in on the land phone. We have Mike on the line and Don, Albert, and me, and you. So go ahead, Don, or Singapore.
Okay, yes. Thank you very much, everyone. I miss you guys. Monday of my time, Sunday of your time, with 1 second. But anyway, if everybody go to Amazon.com, whether from Canada or Singapore or anywhere in the world, go to their Amazon.com and just put the Mueller's report. And there are two books. One is everything that Mueller has found. It will be a book coming March 26th. And it's $9.37 of your country. If USA is US dollar, if Canada is a Canadian dollar. So anyway, and then also Washington Post.
Okay, I don't want you to promote books. I want you to talk about facts.
No. I know, but this is the Mueller's report that is true, are there, so, something you need to look at it.
Okay, well,
later
I
want
to bring a point up that John talked about with Jeff Sessions.
Sure.
Jeff Sessions was in an awkward position on many issues with Donald Trump, but because he had to recuse himself in the Mueller investigation, it did kind of take the steam out of his engine. And I just want to make sure you guys heard about the thing, Don, I was talking about a report, a 1995 scholarly article that William Barr wrote for the Catholic Lawyer, in which he stated traditional moral norms through legislation and litigation has diminished. Moral relativism has diminished through the passage of laws that dissolve the moral consensus and enforce neutrality. And things like gay rights have tampered our society and forced Christians out of public debate. So those are the kinds of things we should be talking about tonight, including Jeff Sessions and the Mueller investigation. I'm handing the floor back over to John.
Well, thank you, Jane. Well, I think Don was also on the phone. And Don, do you have any thoughts about this, about Barr maybe recusing himself and how they should proceed with the I think they're moving from collusion, from what I understand, to now obstruction. So basically, they're going to investigate not crimes, but a person. And so do you think this is maybe a good thing? We should just start investigating people until we find a crime? And what's your view on Barr?
Oh, no, I don't. Hey, everybody. I don't have a
hi,
major.
Hi.
Barr is simply Whitaker session 3.5. You know, these guys are just all crooks. They're going down. They're coming up and going down. It's like a merry-go-round with these guys. And if you really want to get to the top, just get to the top, but put all your evidence there, let the elections happen, and then send them off for life. But bottom line is that all this crap is only a time delay play, and Barr is just the next sucker up. Recusing himself will just be the same old thing. We've been there before. And Sessions, he took a lot of time. He ate up a lot of time. It was a good play. And now, you know, we're going to be looking at seeing how far he goes. But I guess his ideology is just straight up racist and homophobic. You know, him writing addressing a Catholic conference that is full of homosexuals is incredible for him to espouse what apparently he did. I didn't read the article or haven't heard anything about that, but that is antithetical to
he proposed legislation. He proposed legislation that nobody with HIV or AIDS could come into our country for help or research. So he was anti anything gay related.
Right. And for him to talk to a general Catholic mass or whatever it was, convention, saying those things, I'm kind of surprised he was ran out, even though you know, their whole concept is skewed. As I said, I have a son who I would not let be an altar boy because we all knew back in the 60s, back in the 80s, that these guys were all, you know,
John, I have a question for you. And Mike, you can talk to John. So, what is your opinion of letting people with HIV and AIDS from places like Haiti into the country?
God.
Barr proposed that. Wait, just shut up, Don. It's my damn show.
You know it, but the
patients with HIV and AIDS were put at Guantanamo Island as a holding tank, and they weren't allowed in our country, and that was Barr's doing.
Well, you know, we could have another approach. What if we barred that's a good name, barred everyone, but only allowed people with HIV into the country and try to get as many people with HIV into the country? That could make America, gay again, possibly.
It could improve, it could reduce the population.
Yes, and I'm sure you remember, Jane, other shows I did talk about it four, five, 6 months ago. I said they want everybody be either lesbian or gay. You remember that show? You can listen to that again. And exactly, I think that's eugenics, and they're going to create it because, you know, men and women cannot get along together so much financially or emotionally or psychologically, etc. So then, what would be?
Ben is on the line. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Ben?
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
I'm here.
You hear me?
Hi, Ben. Yes,
I can.
Go ahead.
John, reception is bad here, so I'm going to let you run the show, okay? Everybody give each other equal time to talk, okay?
Okay.
Good to have you, Ben. You're in the batter's box, Ben. Take a swing.
Well, I really just came in, so all I know that you're talking about is homosexuality and AIDS.
Right.
Jane was commenting on the competence of William Barr to be acting attorney general, given his past record in the 90s. He's vocal about very conservative values and about angling against gay rights, HIV, and really kind of trying to promote a Judeo-Christian type of America. And it's interesting, you know, that one question is, should he basically recuse himself and not be involved, since he had a pro-Trump kind of anti-Clinton or anti-investigation view regarding the scope of the basically the search for the truth. One thought is that they are searching now for crimes. They're not investigating. They're searching for a person that has crimes. They don't have a crime, but they're looking through everything in Donald Trump. I think 81 people got served. More than half of them have already given their comments to Mueller's extensive investigation. An interesting comment, too. Stroke and Page, who led the original investigation,
John.
Yes.
Stroke. Yes, we all know that the stroke. But no. The thing is that he has had right now 1,162 crimes that he will be investigated on.
To follow up to that, the people who were leading the original investigation, Strzok and Page, said we literally have nothing on Russian collusion. Strzok said there's no there, and basically they couldn't answer any question regarding it. Now, it's interesting, Comey did a memo, and he stated that Trump told him, please investigate any satellites. McCabe said there was no effort to impede our investigation. This was after Comey was fired. Baker, again, voiced the same thing. Now, basically, they're coming to the point of no Russian collusion. So are we to keep the question is, are we to investigate until we find crimes on Trump that are non-related to collusion?
Yes, that is the point. I think this – you can clearly call this investigation gate, because the investigations aren't going to stop. And this is the point, to obstruct via investigations. And usually how the justice system works is there's a crime committed and the crime is investigated. Here, they're going to investigate, and creating crimes hasn't worked. So they're just going to keep on investigating until there's a crime committed and then prosecute it.
Well, interesting. Now, here's a question. The people investigating, such as Schiff, Cummings, so forth, the Democratic House basically is anti-Trump. They've stated it very clearly. They want to impeach. They want to get rid of him. So the question is, if they've stated
John, you're wrong again. John, you're wrong again. Yeah. They are being very careful about impeachment. And anything that comes, that even that word, like I said earlier.
No, John's actually not wrong on that. Even if you look at the private text messages, the ones that were leading the investigation were having private text messages about certain avenues that they could take to prevent him from being president or to get him out of the presidency.
Now, that might be a Republican ploy for those that are in the other, they're going to let him hang, and they're going to let him swing, and this is going to be a referendum in 2020, and we'll just have to wait these next year and three quarters out.
Well, Adam Schiff met with Chris Simpson at Fusion GPS a couple of years ago. The FBI got a letter from Perkins Coie and to James Baker, and they said, we need to talk about this investigation. And Baker said, we'll get back to you. And a couple of days later, he met with them. Now, here's the question. If they're questioning William Barr for writing an opinion piece 2 years ago, and they want him
to
lay.
Why
are we allowing people to investigate who have the same bias?
Right. What was that question?
There's clear political bias here. Comey and Mueller happen to be best buddies, and this was the backup plan.
All I know is delay, delay, delay. Both sides are going to wait until the election. This is all about the destruction as much as they can, the meltdown of the Republican Party. And nobody in the Democratic Party wants to ruffle the feathers of potential turncoats, if you will, from the Republicans to the Democrats. They're going to want the growth of the Democratic vote is the main thing that, and I can tell you this, I'm deep in the party, is one of the main things that is going to be talked about or going to be met, going to be worked for in the next 2 years. The main thing is to take those people who are going to change parties from here until 2020.
Well, here's a question for Ben and Don and Albert and Mike from Singapore. Do we really care about jobs? Are jobs really important? Your national security, economy, or international defense? Or do you think the most important thing is investigations? Now, we have the strongest job market, the economy, everything's going great. Do we really need to think about that? Shouldn't we all just think about investigations and about the new Green Deal, which all Democrats are in favor of? Don't we need the Green Deal? And Don, could you explain maybe the Green Deal, the key components, and what will happen under the Green Deal?
We have two different countries running right now.
The Green Deal is the complete, it's like I've been talking about, going back into the 50s. We need to get rid of the dependence on oil, even though we're now part of those job acquisitions are in the oil and drilling industry. We're now pretty much oil independent. So
you're joking, Don. You're joking, right?
We have oil independence as we speak. We have almost a zero need for oil.
We have the capability of being oil independent, but we're still not yet.
Yes. Can I say something, please, my friends? First of all, Don is absolutely right. Alaska is full of oil.
Always.
I mean, we have Texas, you go, New Mexico, you go, you see oil pumps keep going up and down. So what the hell is that then? If we are not using that, then what we are doing is storing it when Saudi Arabia and other countries go out of oil, and then we sell it every gallon, every barrel of oil for $1,000.
And the problems are that we don't care about the reason we don't really care about oil right now, and that's what is very evident. And us not doing anything to Iraq, Iran, Syria, Qatar even. We don't give a damn about Venezuela because we know that oil, all those oil countries, producing countries, except for Russia, are sending all their oil to Asia and Europe. We're not producing, buying any of that oil. That's why we don't have
negotiations
like that with Iran.
What do you mean we don't give a damn about Venezuela? We're damn near going to start World War III because
we don't give a damn about that. Venezuela's oil is being sold to India and Pakistan and a lot of those other countries in Asia. That's where
Asian,
the oil
Asian comes countries.
From. So we don't have a concern about Venezuela because their oil is the only thing we care about. But those people died.
I don't see what you're saying, though, Don. Obviously, we do have a concern about Venezuela, unless you haven't been paying attention
fake
about
news.
The military we've been sending
Let me tell you
news.
Something. In the paper, we may look. in the paper, we may look, we love, we care about Venezuela and Iran and other countries, and we want them to have democracy. That's bullshit, lies. Go ahead, please.
Why do you think we would risk our country by opposing Russia, China, Iran on who they support and who we support?
It's because Russia is on its own. Russia's self-sufficient with oil. They just sell theirs just because they have extra. But until that was until the Ukraine and Crimea, they're some of the biggest natural gas producers. That's another. I'm not talking about natural gas right now. I'm talking about crude. But the Venezuelans don't have a market in the U.S. So whatever happens down in That's why we haven't gone in yet. If we were going to do something, we would have done something last week.
Yes. Allow me to talk to you, please, for a minute, my friend. Everything you see is a distraction. I mean, we see India and Pakistan war, et cetera, is all distraction for we don't see the problems facing our nation today. Today is police brutality. I mean, we have in Sacramento what happened to that. We have a lot of, 465 stores from JCPenney to Foot Locker and et cetera, as you know, they're closed already. So what is going on? They don't want us to aware what are the problems today. And you say the economic is so beautiful. It's not so beautiful. After they got the first tax credits and et cetera, we got 5,000 layoff in east of in Detroit area, and then followed by 465 store from JCPenney, Foot Locker, and a few others that you are aware of it. So is this the economy getting better? That's is like a fake and economic getting better. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I'll go ahead. The reason why the Democrat Party needs the investigations to continue is because the Democrat Party is eating itself. They have people in there that are hardcore socialists that are going to destroy business as we know it. And you like to say that we need to get off of oil, and then you're talking about businesses closing. How do you think the products get here? Ships take oil.
Well, also in the United States, we are consumers.
Well, I know. By the way,
81% of all energy.
So you're talking about you think they're very, very socialist. The Democrats and Republicans are not so far apart from each other. But I want to put it this way, because the in the capitalist countries, the companies are supposed to sell as much as they can, so they have plans, obsolescence. You know, the computers break like a year or so after you buy a computer. After you buy a TV, it's going to break very soon. It's the same with the car, and it's the same with the oil company. So oil, they want to keep on selling it to you, and then they want you to keep on needing it so they can keep on selling to you. So they're going to keep on digging it out, and they're going to be doing all this weight, you know, with oil. When it could be done more better, you know, how I say renewable energy. They're not investing in renewable energy because there's not much profit in that. There's more profit in oil, and that's why they're using the oil so much. I mean, if it wasn't so capitalistic and it was more socialistic and not based on profit, you know, there wouldn't be any planned obsolescence like there is in oil.
So what you're saying is socialism eliminates greed and it goes to need. Well, now here's a question. The basis of capitalism is to find a need and supply it. And if efficiently...
I'm not saying to use the socialism that you know, the socialism that you've been taught, that, China socialism is terrible, but that's
always
mixed up. It's communism. There's a difference between communism and socialism, and a lot of people get that confused. But let me put it this way. I'm not talking about that
socialism is better than capitalism, communism is better, and fascism is good. No, all those are terrible. There's better ways that have never been tried before. And then the powerful elite don't want you to know about it and don't want you to use it. You know,
I half agree with you, but think about this. If I supply the need to the public at a better price or a better service than my competition, I will get ahead of my competition. That's the basis of capitalism, right? If I'm selling junk for $100...
Can you please speak better?
The
we can
of
hear
capitalism
you.
Is to waste stuff. It's to sell you more stuff you don't need. It's to sell, the basis of capitalism is to sell you something that's going to break. That's the basis of capitalism. We keep on buying it over and over again.
Right. And if I deliver a product that lasts a bit longer and you buy it, I will get ahead. But here's the thing. With socialism, the government will decide your need and they'll distribute it based on limited supply. In other words, if everyone gets a car, let's take a house. There's only so many houses. So can everyone live in San Monica? No. It goes by, well, a waiting list.
I know that you're thinking the capitalism supply and demand, but here's the problem with the supply and demand in the capitalist country. Right here in America, we have more empty houses than homeless people. We have 4 times more empty houses than homeless people. You know, and we have so many golf resorts where you know, rich people can play golf. You know, if you only took even less than a quarter of the space of the golf resorts, you can home so many homeless people. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the thing is that golf generates, if it's done right and there's a task, it generates a lot of income. But, Ben, this is all connected.
It's a lot of use of space.
That's what we're talking about. With John's point, capitalism is the ultimate goal is to acquire everything, just like a monopoly.
No, it's not.
Acquire all the money. It's the ultimate goal to get all the money.
Capitalism.
That's not
its ultimate goal is to get everything. That's what monopoly is. Monopoly, the winner gets everything. Everybody else is bankrupt.
The biggest difference
capitalism.
Between capitalism.
Let me say what capitalism is. Capitalism is a blood sucker, and that's everybody knows.
It
means if I become a millionaire because I blood suck you all.
Ben,
and that's the problem.
Don,
I am talking.
That's
the
whole point.
Let me talk to my friend.
Hold on. Let me just mention this. It's working beautifully, and when it does, that money goes to those certain winners, and everybody else is held is in pauperism. If it works right, it's working perfectly, but the paupers are getting tired of being stepped on, and that's what's going to force a semi-socialistic situation.
We have a political division. Let me talk, please, everybody. I mean, because if anybody run talk over me, I will not be happy with you guys. I mean, Don, I don't talk over you. Nobody talks over each other. That's rule number
That's
one.
All right.
And rule number two, we don't get emotional.
It's just like
number
socialism.
Three.
I'm going to borrow some of the airwaves. If you earned it, then I get to keep it, right?
And if you earn it, you get to keep it, but most people don't earn it legally. When you get into a gray area, which the loopholes, I'm fighting laws right now against that have in the bylaw, in the legal language that has discrimination against women and discrimination in the workplace and blacks in housing. And if the ability to buy a home, you have clauses. And many of these homes here that say you cannot sell to a black person. That doesn't sound like
what are you talking
fair.
About? What are you talking about? Institutional discrimination?
Right. And it's not a level playing field. No, I've been saying all these years.
It's right. Don, you stated a fact. So you've seen contracts. I've seen many leases and buying agreements because I bought 8-10 properties, actually.
Right.
And I rented.
Right.
So in our agreements, have you ever read, it says we cannot sell or rent to black people. You've seen that in writing?
Yeah.
Well, but they don't say it.
And no one's taken that to court, we cannot sell to black people in writing. You have that. Okay, could you post that on the blog for us? Could you put that on James' site?
Yep. You got it.
Okay, so the problem I see with that is that there's people that go to school for economics, and the thing that they're taught is to find risks. And the same way that a 16-year-old male pays more for insurance than a 16-year-old female for a driver's insurance, because the risk is higher, and that's what they've gone to school to figure out. So you're going to get mad at the system that teaches people how to figure out how much risk a bank is going to lend and how much risk they're going to take by lending it?
But the thing is that you've got these banks that have these clauses. You also have insurance companies, pharmacy. You've got based on how much money you can get. If you take a risk in a war, and you go in with 1,000 men, and you pillage, plunder, and gain enough power in government where you can start running the whole place and build a base and everything, that's no longer a risk. That's
that has nothing to do with what we were just talking about. Lending. Lending risks is what you're calling institutional discrimination. Lending risk is what
there
they
is an institutional discrimination in the United States of America. And even when we talk, we see the discrimination between us. You don't even let somebody, talk. Go ahead, please. But you don't let me talk. That's institutional racism. Go ahead.
Mike, slow down.
No, it's not. You're full of shit.
We let you talk, buddy. But the bottom line.
Okay, how many times to talk, and then you guys came in between. Ben was talking, John was talking, everybody was talking over each other. That's not it to doing a show.
Well,
everybody.
Point, actually, you get my point now? That if you think you deserve some airtime in a socialist system, I will take it from you, and you should be okay with it.
Ben rarely
calls the show, so he deserves airtime.
Yeah, well, hey, John.
One minute warning, John.
How's that still running for black people? I send you the evidence to John on your YouTube channel, so you can check it out.
Oh, good. Yeah. I've never seen that in my life. Now, here's a question going along that stream.
There are things you don't take into account that happen. I've been trying to tell everybody this shit happens. I love everybody. I love the world. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I love you too.
But
we ought to give